It's a very non-text, but I think it's speaking to me deeply, and I want to share what God has spoken to me. All right, let's read the Word of God. Luke 12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possession." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods, laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, let us come with reverence before you and believe in you, Lord, that we can learn and grow in your word. And help us, Lord, to understand what it means, Lord, to be generous towards you, and open our hearts, oh God. That's what I pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, as a missionary family, we try to travel light, because whenever you don't travel light, it's complicated with three children. So it's hard because people don't understand how can you as a missionary live with some few luggages. That's our life for the last 24 years, going from place to place, traveling here and there. But God was always so faithful. Nothing lacked us. But the more we try to accumulate, the more we try to acquire for ourselves, the more we get attached to those things and we don't want to let them go. Surprises me some missionaries that they pay for a whole cargo, you know, like a container to take their, you know, even furniture to another country. I never did that, although, by the way, we don't have the money to do that anyway. But we try to travel light. And our Christian life is the same. You know, sometimes we acquire so many things, we want so many things, and we are so attached to those things that we don't want to let go. But the truth is this, that one day Jesus Christ will come, and when he comes, he will take us away, and we will take nothing. So here, we see this rich fool, but before that, Jesus takes this interruption, but it became for him very useful for him when this man was in the crowd. The Bible says that someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He was just one more in the crowd. The Bible says that there were thousands of people wanting to listen to Jesus, but Jesus was speaking particularly with his disciples. But the Bible said there were so many people, they are trampling over each other. He had no interest whatsoever on spiritual matters. Jesus was speaking, warning the disciples, warning them against the leaven of the Pharisees, that is their hypocrisy, because they preach simplicity, they preach poverty, but they live in luxury. Okay? They are preaching people, you give, but they themselves, they will not give. They were hypocrites. So Jesus was saying to his disciples, beware, be aware of this, be careful. Jesus was also saying about the fear of man. We should not fear man because man can only take our lives, but they cannot grant us salvation. They cannot throw our lives into our souls into hell or to heaven. They can only take our lives. And also he was talking about acknowledging God before man. But this young man, I don't know if he was young, but most probably he was not too old, but he had no interest whatsoever in the spiritual matters. He wanted like a free judicial consultation with Jesus. Oh, he is a rabbi, because a rabbi, one of the responsibility was to interpret the law, okay? The moral laws, the Mosaic laws. So he said, oh, free, you know, free judicial consultation. So teacher, rabbi, help me in this case. Help me to set this matter with my brother. He had his own earthly worries. Tell my brother to divide inheritance with me. So then Jesus in verse 14, Jesus sets the record straight. Because this man did not understand Jesus' purpose. What was Jesus' purpose when he came to earth? He said that explicitly. I came to preach the kingdom of God. I came to seek and save that which was lost. That is my matter. That is my mission. How many times in life is so easy for us to get distraction with other things? When we are training people for evangelism, we always tell people, if you go to a firefighter, you cannot say, can you give me some bread? They're going to laugh at you. Or if you go to the hospital and say, can you fix my car? No, hospital don't fix cars, okay? They fix people. So the same thing, when we talk about church, what is our mission as a church? It's not to be a witness. You remember the apostles there in Acts chapter 1? When they said this, okay, I understand, Jesus, that you came and you die and you raise again. All right, but when are you going to restore the kingdom? You haven't understood anything. That's not my mission. But don't worry about time, but ask for you be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what I'm doing here. How many British people came to Brazil? When could you imagine that one day a Brazilian would come to the UK to preach the gospel? So how easy it is for us sometimes to get distracted with so many tasks and things that we think we must do, but we don't. And this man had no interest for the spiritual matters. So Jesus' teaching did not penetrate his heart. Jesus said to him, and actually to the disciples, and to him as well, but mainly to the disciples, take heed, be careful, otherwise you will be deceived by the leaven of the Pharisees. And be aware of covetousness. Okay, true awareness here. Take heed that you will not be contaminated by the leaven of the Pharisees, and that you will not be that you will not lust, that you will not covet for someone else's things. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Isn't like this how people outside their measure? What is your figure? How many zeros you have there? You know, and people will measure you. Oh, you're working class, or you're high class, or you're middle class. The Bible says that in Jesus, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no poor, there's no rich. Oh, we're all the same. Our life is not measured, should not be measured, the abundance of the possession that we have. A beautiful house, a small house, a shed. Like me, I was living in the street, but God had mercy on me. So what if God wants to have mercy on me? It means like you're higher than me? It means like I'm higher than you because I travel the world, I preach the gospel here and there? No. We are not measured by those things. We are measured by the blood of Jesus Christ. So covetousness is the father of all sins. Have you realized this? Because the first four commandments, it's about God. But the other six is about our brother and how we relate to each other. So coveting may lead us to dishonor our parents by trying to take the power by force. We don't obey our parents. That was punishable by death in the Old Testament by the parents themselves. So covenant, and that's the fifth commandment. So the sixth, coveting leads us to jealousy that may lead us to murder, to war. I want to have what this person has. I want to have what these people have. And then the seventh, coveting may lead us to adultery. And even the adultery of the eyes. Jesus says, if you look to a woman and desire her, you already commit adultery with her in your heart. That's what I taught yesterday there, isn't it, Nathan? Jesus' standard is too high. It's too high. Coveting may lead us to steal, the eighth commandment. I want to have what someone else has, so I will go there and I will steal that. I will take that from me. And the ninth, coveting may lead to false witnessing against someone. Because I want to have what that person has, so I'll falsely accuse this person of this, so then I'll have this. I'll have the children. I'll destroy the life of my wife. I'll destroy the life of my husband, and then I'll have the children. You're coveting your own children, and you're destroying people. You're disseminating lies. And then, of course, the tenth is the lust itself, coveting. Ultimately, coveting leads to idolatry, as we read in Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Not that only covetousness is idolatry, but all the other sins, when that takes a big part of your life, when you're totally devoted to those sins will be the cause of your idolatry. Idolatry is to love anything more than you love God, the Shema Law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is likewise. Love your neighbor as yourself. So whatever you love more than God will become your idolatry. So then we have here three problems with this rich fool. Jesus tells them a parable. So first point here. First problem this rich fool had, he neglected God. Okay. Secondly, he neglected others. And thirdly, he neglected eternity. So the Bible says here that Jesus told them a parable. So if you realize here, there are parables had a twofold purpose. Okay, for those that did not belong to Jesus would cause confusion. They could not understand. You remember that at such occasion, the disciples themselves, they could not understand the parable. And then Jesus needs to take them aside and explain to them. But for the others, for those that think they are too wise, they would never comprehend that. Because that was for the disciples, for those who belong to God. So for this rich fool, God was gracious to him. You read with me there in verse 16. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. He worked hard. If you work hard in this country, you will prosper. You will prosper. Okay? Many people, they want to go to America. Why? Because there, if you work, you will prosper. I'm not taking this. I believe he worked very hard. He needed to invest in that field. But it was God that caused his land to produce. Can you make the seed grow? No. Are you in control of the elements of nature? Storms, hailstones. Can you control those things? Hurricane, can you control those things? No. So if his land produced plentifully, it's because God has blessed him. God was gracious toward him. And the moment you try to take the power out of God and put in yourself, that becomes your destruction. And then the Bible says that, and he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. He did not acknowledge God in his plans. He did not recognize that. If you see the life of David, every time he would go to war, he would say, Lord, should I go or should I not? How many times we make a lot of plans, but we never include God? We always push God aside. It's like someone was saying that this believer, he was trying to find a parking lot for him, and he was praying to God, God, help me to find a spot. God, help me to find a spot. And finally he found a spot. He said, you don't need it anymore because I just found it. You know, it's like that we do. And this man was the same. He was a fool because he only thought about himself. He never acknowledged God and all his ways. But his success brought him more trouble. His troubles and anxieties were reflected by his own words. What shall I do? I am rich, so what? I want to be more rich. I want to have more. It's not enough. There are always more space. I want to accumulate more. I want to have more. Accumulating wealth did not free him from his anxieties at all. The more you have, the more anxious you are. The more you acquire, the more you think you will lose it. And you want to work more. So maybe if I lose this, I can at least have this, and this, and this, and this. James 4, verse 13 through 15. James says like this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, I will live and do this or that. You don't know. Ray Comfort, this guy that I follow, you know, he's an evangelist in America from New Zealand. And he was evangelizing this. He was about 60 years of age. And he said, I'm an atheist. I will not accept what you're saying. I am 60 now. I will live maybe probably another 20 years. Who cares about your God? I don't care about your God. You know, I'll just live my life and die. He got his bicycle and he died twice. He was killed twice. A car hit him and threw him, and the other car came and hit him back. So in that same day, the news was there in the newspaper, and the newspaper was there, the head that says this man was hit twice by a car. He thought he would live another 20 years. You won't. You don't know. You don't know. John MacArthur was saying that this man that he knew, very rich, he said, you know what, Pastor? For my whole life, I accumulate so much for myself. I have a pension that I don't think I will use it if I live three lives. So, you know what? I want to give everything away. And John MacArthur was like, are you sure about this? And he said, yes. So he donated $3 million to the seminaries of John MacArthur and to the church. And that same night, he had a heart attack and he died. And John MacArthur was there with him. He didn't know he was going to die. He was just making plans, but generous plans. But he died. It's good that he got, I'm not saying you should do this, okay? I'm just saying this is something that God told to this particular person because he was about to depart from this earth. And secondly, he neglected others, verse 18. So he said, I will do this. I'll put down my barns and build greater. So he was very determined. I know what to do. He never consulted God. He never asked God what to do. He knew what to do. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. Greater. He was greedy. I'll put down my barns and build greater. He didn't think about people. You remember in Deuteronomy, it says, when you plant your field, let some fall, you know, beside so the poor people can come and eat. You remember Ruth. she would come and collect. Boaz said, let fall more. That is generosity. If you go, for example, slavery in the Old Testament, it's not like slavery we have in the modern times. The Bible says if you have a slave because they need to pay their debts, pay them a fair salary. Okay? They need to pay back, but you pay them and treat them as they are part of your family. And on the seventh year, in the year of Jubilee, you must let them go, although they have not paid their debt. That is generosity. That is generosity. He was also a hedonist. Live for pleasure. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, in which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So hedonism seeks for all of those things. Sit, relax, get married, drink, eat, enjoy life. And thirdly, and finally, he neglected his eternity, verse 20 through 21. Everything will pass away in this life. Everything you have will pass away. Your money and your bank account, you know, a hacker can come one day and take everything away. Your car can crash. Your house can crumble down. Your life itself can vanish before your eyes. Everything will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Correct? The materialistic worst nightmare is this. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Most of the time, people that will fight for the inheritance that you left behind, they will kill each other. They will destroy each other's lives just for the sake of that inheritance. Everything that you acquire, everything that you accumulate all the years of your life, who is going to profit from that? What are you storing that for? He has planned for everything, but he has not planned for his eternity. God called him to account, verse 20. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Will they be? God has the power over life and over death. He can kill, but he also can give life. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Your soul belongs to God. Not only your material possessions, not only your house, not only the money that you have, not only the house, not only the car, not only your life, everything belongs to God. And he will acquire that of you. And he will require that of you. He will demand that of you. You must be accountable to God. There is no problem in making plans as long as God is part of your plans. God is against covetousness. It's to desire something that you should not have. It's to desire something that belongs to someone else. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to men, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God is against idolatry of the heart that leads to death. That is what God is against. It's no problem having wealth. All the ways of man appear in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So therefore, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Lord, I want to do this. I'm planning to have this. I plan to make more money, but for this purpose, not to build my own kingdom, but to build your kingdom. all your days are numbered. But the fool, what he says in his heart, there is no God. If there is no God, automatically there is no Christ. So if there is no Christ, there is no resurrection of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So everything is in vain. Then Paul says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If God has not sent his son to die for us on that cross, if Jesus was not raised on the third day, if we would not be raised again with him into glory, what is life? Let's just eat and enjoy life and tomorrow we die. Like the atheists think, we just vanish, we just become earth, you know, food for worms. But we have this language of obligation. He was not a fool for being rich. Abraham was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob was rich. David, Solomon, you name it. But because he had no concern for God, no concern for others, and no concern whatsoever for his eternity. This man owned God everything, his livelihood, wealth, his health, even the air that he breathed. Especially he owned God, his own soul. But he was not gracious. He was not generous toward God. God will require what he entrusted us. How are we taking care of God's properties? How are we managing our money, the money that he entrusted us? How we as pastors, how are we dealing with the flock of Jesus Christ? Are we generous with them? Some people think, oh, pastor, they just preach on Sundays, isn't it, pastor? We are 24/7. People call us out of our working time, and we need to rush to hospital, visitation, prayer. We must be generous as well. Jesus, when his cousin was beheaded, he wanted to go to a segregated area to rest, but all of a sudden this great crowd was surrounding him, and the Bible said that he looked at them and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. We must be generous. What about my suffering? Put that aside a little bit. Be generous. How are we caring for our bodies? It's not because one day God will give us a glorified body that we don't need to take care of our bodies. Of course we need. Do some exercise, do some walking. I don't like running, but at least I like walking. You know, eat well. Yes, that's all good. It's not everything, but it's good, it's important. And finally, how are we caring for our soul, our eternity? The Bible says that we came naked to this world and naked we will go. We came from the dust and from the dust we will go. So therefore, store for yourselves treasures in heaven. Verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and it is not rich toward God. Are you rich toward God? Are you generous toward God? Everything you do, everything you produce with your hands, you say, Lord, I entrusted everything I have in your hands. If I lose everything today, I know this is not mine, it's yours. For me to be here, I spent only for the visa and health insurance £14,000 for 3 years. Ask me how. I don't know. In 1 month and a half, people from different parts of Brazil, even people from outside of Brazil that I never contacted, start to give us a little bit here, a little bit there. And 1 month and a half, we had all we need because people were generous. And now I can come here to the streets of Newcastle and preach faithfully the word of God because people are investing in my life, investing in my family. All saints, they are investing in my life here, in my ministry. We must be generous toward God and toward our eternity, toward others. And I just want to encourage you this evening to be generous toward God. Because the moment you're generous toward God, you'll be generous toward others. You will be generous toward yourself. Okay? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, how encouraged we are by your word. We trust in you, Lord. We want to acknowledge you, We want to acknowledge you in all our ways, like you say, you say there in your word in Proverbs 3. Entrust your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will make your path straight. Oh, Lord, let us not be like this fool that he thought he had control of everything, but he was not in control of anything. And that same night, he would lose his life, and he was thinking about 20, 30, 50 years. But in that very night, you would require of him his soul. Oh, Lord, let us be gracious. Let us be merciful. Let us be generous toward you, toward others, and towards our eternity. That's what I pray in your holy name. Amen.